in the trouble area of sin, but thank God he came to where I was. So, well, I told you last week we'd be starting a new study this week, and we are going to start in the book, the little book of Titus. It's just a very small, three chapter book, but there's a whole lot of good stuff in it. So, if you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. And as we get ready to think about that, we're going to call it the name of the whole series, Foundational Truths. Foundational Truth, because that's really what the book of Titus gives to us. There are some things that that we need to know as a church and as well as Christians, and you know, the thing, a lot of folks will say, well, you know, I don't know about all that doctrine stuff. Well, you need to know something about the doctrinal stuff because it is important. It is something that we build upon. It is something that we understand. It is something that we conduct ourselves by. I mean, it is something that you gotta have. And, you know, you do that because the church needs organization. The church needs direction. The church needs instruction. There's a lot of things that we need in church. And the only way we're going to get it is by someone else showing that to us. Now, the thing is, you know, we've been with it ourselves, you know, we've done this for years, and a lot of you have been saved for years and years, but we understand there is a structure, there is an organization, there is a way, a discipline about church and how it goes. And you say, well, you know, it's just always been like that. It's because somebody else had that information and they passed it along to somebody else. Now, I know if you go to different denominational churches and you see how they do things differently than we do, and that's okay. However they want to do it, that's how they do it. But it's because generally they learned it that way, okay? And where did they learn it? Well, let me just say this. You better get your doctrinal learning out of the Word of God, all right? And my Bible still tells me over in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So we've got to have that Word of truth. And that's why I call this Foundational Truths. The whole study will be called Foundational Truths. And this is study number 1 as we get ready to look at Titus chapter number 1. Just going to look at the first 4 verses tonight, if you will. And let's just title it this: The Truth is Worth Our Trust. The truth is worth our trust. When we get into the truth of the Word of God, it better have some value. It better have some worth. And I'm telling you, the truth that you and I find as we study this little book, these things that are here, there's some real nuggets that are down in the depths of it. And man, it's going to be for our instruction, for our admonition, for our help, and for our learning. I mean, something's going to help us. So let's look at that tonight, if you will. Like I say, just the first 4 verses, it'll take us a few minutes to go through that, all right? Begin reading with me, if you will, in verse number 1 of Titus chapter number 1. And it starts out like this: Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, this one. Thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this another evening. Thank you again for this time, this privilege to be here. Thank you for all these that have come. Lord, I pray just give us your direction, give us your wisdom, give us some instruction out of the Word of God. I pray you'd help us to see the things that you'd have us to note and the things that you'd have us to just have it assimilated into our hearts and our lives, for the instruction, for the making solid of our lives, and for helping us to be the saints of God that we ought to be, to bring glory to you in this old wicked world, to shine the light of Christ Jesus, and to show old sinners how that there's still saving grace in the name of our dear Savior. We thank you for that tonight. I pray just bless us as we look. Give us wisdom. Again, give us the instruction, all those things necessary. And again, we'll praise you and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, you think about this, and we're going to start out and say that the truth is worth our trust. And it certainly is. Any truth that we gather from whatever part of the Scripture, and it's all truth, right? I mean, it's the only truth there is. And Jesus standing before Pilate, Jesus begins to speak about the truth, and Pilate said, "What is truth?" Okay, people have always had a problem with the truth. But you know, when Jesus is praying in John 17 and in verse number 17, he says, "Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we understand, we know, we can find in the Scriptures where truth is and what truth is, and certainly truth is found in the Word of God. So, as I say, we'll look at this and we'll talk about it, saying that this truth is certainly worth our trust. You can trust the Word of God. You can trust a man that preaches the Word of God when he's not twisting it or using it for his own advantage. Man, that's what we need to hear. We need to hear that tonight. We need to hear the truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen? And that's what we need tonight. So let's talk about, just for a minute or two, the man that this epistle is written to, and it's a man by the name of Titus. It is a young man, a young preacher, and a lot of folks will equate the two men that Paul writes to. Matter of fact, a lot of times they talk about the epistles that are written here, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and they talk to about those being, you know, the epistles that are written to young preachers, and that's definitely what it is. It's just a little bit of an informational packet, if you will, for some young preachers. Now, in your Bible, you've got 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy, and then you come to the book of Titus, right? I hope that's the way your Bible's running. That's the way mine's running, so... But when you look at that, really the order of the chronological order is 1 Timothy, Titus, and then 2 Timothy. And the reason we know that is because in 2 Timothy, Timothy finds out and Paul writes to him and talks to him about his death. If you remember chapter number 4, Paul says, you know, preach the word, and he said, "Here's why I want you to preach, because I'm getting ready to get out of here." And we understand that's kind of Paul's closing letter, one of the last things that Paul writes, and that's 2 Timothy. So Titus is written before that. And again, that's just a little historical stuff for you. But Titus is a young man that is a young preacher, and he is a young man that Paul calls him, and we'll look at it here in verse number 4 again. He says, "Mine own son after the common faith." He is a young man that has been saved according to the ministry, or by the ministry that Paul has had. Paul's gone out and preached, and this young guy's gotten saved. Now, God calls him to be a minister of the Word of God. And Paul begins to help him in his life and establish him and grow him and teach him all the things that he can. He's going through this process helping this young man out, just as he does Timothy. Now, you know, and what you read and what you see, it looks like Paul takes a little bit more delicate talk and glove hands, if you will, when he's talking to Timothy. There seems to be a difference in these two men is what I want you to understand. Timothy seems to be that fellow that, I mean, he just needs a lot of help, and he seems to be, and don't, you know, don't get, take me wrong on this, he seems to be puny. He seems to be kind of weak. He seems to be having some either health issues or some other problems about he just can't get his self in a real stable place sometime. And Paul writes to him. You can see some of that as Paul writes to him. But here, I mean, you just see Paul writing to Titus, and Titus, again, is one of those I said, he mentions that he's like his own son in the ministry, and he says, you just, here's what I want you to do, and I believe he just like, I believe I can tell you what to do, Titus, and you're able to do that. Titus seems to be the kind of guy that is a loyal and beloved supporter of Paul. I mean, we know he's a Gentile for sure. We're not exactly sure where he came from and how he came in. A lot of the scholars believe he was either from this little place called Crete, this little island that we're going to mention here in just a minute as we talk about it, or maybe he came from Syria. There's historians and theologians divided on that. Hey, they know more than I do, but nobody knows that. But I tell you that, I know as much as they do because they don't know the answer. Amen? So I'm as smart as them when it comes to that, and you are too. Nobody knows the answer to where he came from, and that's okay. He's not mentioned in the book of Acts, but he is mentioned several times in the book of 1 Corinthians. He's also mentioned in Galatians. He's also mentioned in some of the other, I think he mentioned in the book of one of the Timothys that you find. So he's mentioned throughout, so we know that he is on the field and working with Paul. We understand that. And then, of course, you see him mentioned here in his own epistle, the epistle of Titus. So he's mentioned, I think, 13 or 14 times in your Bible. So he is a character that is noted and known. It's not like he's some fly by night and somebody we don't know and one of those unknown characters we've talked about in the Bible, but he's a man that has some distinguishability about him. He's there for a reason, okay? So let's look at that if we can as we look at the beginning four verses here as we get into the first chapter, first four verses of Titus. First of all, I want you to notice this. We'll just call this first section Paul's opening statement. Whenever you read some of the things that Paul writes, and I don't care if it's, you know, to the church at Galatia, to the church at Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, wherever it is, he always starts out with a very similar greeting. And it's always words of encouragement. It's words of fact. It's words of faith. But it certainly is words of encouragement to the people that he's writing to. He always does that. So listen what he says here in these first couple of verses. He says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Amen. We'll just stop right there with that. Hey, isn't that, this is Paul. I mean, this is the way Paul usually introduces things. He tells, and you know, there's a lot of these guys that are so educated and so wise. Well, do you think Paul really wrote the book here of Titus? Well, what kind of knucklehead have you got to be to look at what says right here? Paul. I mean, the very first word, that's who's doing the talking. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then look in verse number 4, to Titus. In other words, he said, this is me, Paul, and I'm writing to you, Titus. I mean, I got that figured out. It was Paul writing a letter to Titus. Amen. But the education, well, we just don't know that. Well, it's just because you're dumb. Amen. Huh? That's the Greek word for it, dumb. Okay, well, no. Some people just don't believe the truth out of the Word of God. They'll tell you all kinds of things. Well, we suppose this, we think. I don't care. I'm just reading it like it's written. And I think the Holy Ghost knows what he's doing, don't you? And he's penned these words down for me and for you. So Paul starts out in his opening statement, and he begins to tell Titus, and not that he needs to, but apparently the Spirit of God has put it on him to introduce himself or to announce himself, maybe a better word, to tell, you know, a little bit about himself. So look at that first thing that Paul says that he is. Paul, a servant of God. Amen? Boy, I tell you, I can believe that, can't you? I mean, Paul is a servant of God. Now, if you want to look at it and say that, man, that's his general office, he said, I am simply a servant, I am a slave, I am a person under the presence of the living God of heaven. He's my master and I'm his workman. I'm the one that's going to be here before him. That's who I am. Amen. And listen, Paul wears that title proudly. As I say, you go back and look through a lot of the other epistles as he writes it. That's one of the first things that Paul said. Paul, a servant of God. He's a servant. Thank you. You know what that means? I believe Paul's trying to emphasize the fact and the point that all of us need to see ourselves simply as the servants of God. I don't care if it's the biggest preacher you know. You know what he is? He's a servant of God. I don't care if it's the least individual, that youngest child that just got saved and God put him in the family. You know what he is? He's a servant of God. Amen? You remember when the little lady's running through in the book of Acts that has got that spirit of divination in her and she's running around after Paul and Barnabas, when they're trying to preach, and she said, you know, she's talking about them, and Paul knows she's got a demonic spirit, but she just follows her. You know what she says? She says, these are the servants of the Most High God. She's right. In other words, the devil even knows that, right? The devil even knows that. I'm just telling you, we ought to let everybody know that you and I are servants of God. That's Paul's general office, if you will, but his more specific or special office is this. He says, a servant of God, and he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He said, I am an apostle. The apostleship of Paul is noted throughout many of his writings. He talks about himself being an apostle. He says that he was one that was born out of due season. What does that mean? That means he wasn't there and Jesus didn't call him when he called Peter and Andrew and James and John and all the others. Paul wasn't there. But later on that road to Damascus, the Lord called Paul and called him to be his special apostle and servant unto his name. Amen? So that's what who Paul is. Paul said, I'm a servant. He has a if you will, a general office of being a servant, but he has a specific or a special office of being an apostle unto the Lord. But not only that, I want you to see Paul as a servant, but I want you to also notice that Paul just says, hey, y'all, I'm a saved man. I'm a saved man. Look in verse number 2. He's talking about he's an apostle according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging the truth, which is after God. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Paul said, I want y'all to know something. I'm saved. I do have the hope. And yet, he's not saying, I hope I'm saved. He said, I have the blessed assurance that I'm saved by the good grace of God. Amen? I mean, that's something you ought to be able to say. If you are saved by God's grace, you ought to have that feeling on the inside of you and that assurance on the inside of you that says, hey, can I tell y'all something? I have the hope of eternal life through Christ Jesus my Lord. I'm a saved man. Amen? I mean, that's what Paul wants them to know. And I know, I think some of this is written to encourage this young preacher, but this young preacher is probably going to read this letter in these churches that are here in this little area called Crete, this little island, and Paul wants them to know that it's something you can know. It doesn't matter what everybody else says, and he wants them to know the specifics of it, if you will. These folks, where Titus is, and just notice this in verse number 5, the very first phrase, he said, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Now, he's in this little this little island out in the Mediterranean Sea, below south, if you will, of Italy. Well, mainly Greece. He's south of Greece, and he's out there in the ocean in this little tiny island nation. Paul says, "I've left you there. God's told me to leave you there to do some certain things. We'll get into that. But he says you're there, and those people that are there are not have not been raised Christian. They have been raised as Gentiles. They don't know all of the things that Paul knows. They don't know all the things the Jewish people know. All they know is, man, now they're saved. But you know what happens then? Sometimes, it happens everywhere you go. Sometimes we start trying to blend doctrine with our thinking or our raising. Amen? I mean, we get to trying to take, well, you know, Grandma and Grandpa said, well, let me just tell you, and very kindly, whatever Grandma and Grandpa said, it better line up with the Bible or it's not right. Amen? It better be the fact out of the Word of God. So these people might have had some ideas about their own theology before. They probably worshiped the gods of the Romans, and that would have been Zeus, would have been the main god. And there is some indication that some of these people tried to say, well, Zeus and Jesus are the same thing. That ain't the same thing, right? It's just like people today try to tell you, well, in the Muslim religion, Allah and God are the same. Wrong. They're not the same. And you and I need to stand upon, as I say, these foundational truths. You need to have some great truth in your vocabulary that says, hey, you may think that's true, but it's not. Can I tell you the truth? And that's what Paul's doing. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God, he said, let me tell you about God. God is the God of Israel, the God that's always been, Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah. He said, let me tell you about him. He said, that cannot lie. And he promised these things before the world even began. Okay? So, Paul is telling him he's a saved man. Thirdly, Paul says this. He said, I want you to know that I am a steward of the good gospel of grace. Look what he says in verse number 3. But hath, he's talking about God, he's got the hope of eternal life that God that cannot lie promised. He said, but he hath in these due times manifested his word through preaching. Look what Paul says, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. God has talked to me and wants me to be a steward of the precious good gospel of grace. And can I tell you, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. God wants every one of us to be a steward of the gospel of grace. You can tell somebody else what it was that saved you. Paul said, I've got the hope of eternal life. And can I tell you how I got that? Through that gospel. Paul said it was committed unto me. Now, I know that means he was the apostle to the Gentiles. I understand that. But I'm telling you, for me and you, we got the same thing. Amen? We have the Word of God that says, take that gospel and show it that it is for somebody else. Even if they don't understand it, let them know about it. Amen? Let them understand you. You have a stewardship in the gospel by presenting the gospel through, he said, that preacher, which is committed unto me. Committed unto me. So there you see Paul's kind of opening statement, things that he says about himself in the opening. But don't you notice this? Paul, in this writing, has some very observable subjects. He's going to talk about some things and give Titus some direction and some instruction in some of these things that he needs to hear. I mean, this is what you need to hear, Titus. This is what I want to get across to you. And you know, there's some things that need to be addressed. First of all, the things that need to be addressed. And Paul says, look, the reason that these things need to be observed, these need to be the subjects of what we're writing about and talking about, is because of the people. Look what he says in verse number 1. He says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. He said, there are some people here that are needing some help in understanding how they're to stand in this grace that they're saved by. I mean, there's some people who, he said, these are God's elect. Now, don't let that term elect get all fouled up in your head, because the word election has the idea that God knows who's saved and who ain't, and he knew it from the beginning. Amen? He knew it. Now, I mean, you didn't know it. And there is the element still of free will in our salvation. Don't ever lose that. It's not like God's picking some and say, well, you're saved, you're lost. You're saved, you're lost. You know, that's not it. He's talking about those that are the elect, those that God has spoken to and they've received him for salvation. Hey, there are some people. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not writing this little epistle so that you can go out and tell everybody what I'm saying. Because a lot of the things that are in here, it's not for everybody. And what I mean by that is, I mean, it just ain't for everybody. When people come in the church, you know, we think, well, everybody ought to do this and everybody do that. They don't have, if you're lost, you don't have to do none of that stuff. You're not required to do it. If you're lost, you need to get saved. But if you are saved, there are some things for God's elect people, God's people that are saved. Hey, they need to hear some of these things. Can I tell you, we can bring a bunch of lost folks in here and I can start telling them, say, well, let me teach you about the doctrines of the church. You know what? It ain't no good, because they can't understand it, they can't receive it, and most of all, they can't do it because they don't have the Spirit of God in them to be able to do it. Amen. So Paul says, I am talking to those who are the people of God according to the faith of God's elect. He said, hey, let me tell you, Titus, he said, I'm writing these things to you so that you will have what you need to help God's people, so that they will have the knowledge of the truth. The truth. You see? He says, the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. In other words, people that belong to God ought to be able to acknowledge the truth in godliness. Godly ways? Hey, that's right. Godly living? That's the way you ought to live. Godly speech, godly singing, godly preaching, godly activities, that's the things that he's trying to say. Here's what you need to teach and give and help these people with in their lives. They need these things in their lives to help them to know how they ought to behave. So one of the observable subjects is he's writing, giving Titus this information so that it's for the people. You know, it's going to help the people. But not only that, he said, I want to tell you about the promise. Look in verse number 2. He said, in hope of eternal life. He said, I'm writing these things and I want you to know we got eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Look what he says. Promised before the world began. Can I tell you that God promised a long time ago that he'd save old sinners? He said, I'll save them and I'm going to make a way for their sins to be remitted. I'm going to make a way for them to get into my glory. I'm going to make a way for them to be able to live life in this world by the faith of the darling Son of God. I'm making a way. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, he has made a promise. It is a promise before the world began. God promised there would be eternal life. God promised that before this world was ever put in motion, before people were ever thought of, before anything ever. And people say, well, how can he do that? Because he's God. That's how he done it. Amen. I was looking at some stuff today on that little phrase, God's only begotten Son. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that's got the idea that God, somewhere in the past, birthed Jesus. But according to the way that word that is there, and it's monogenes is in the Greek, and whatever that has to do with anything, don't worry about that. But it has the idea of this, that he's always been. He's just referred to as God's only Son. Not that he's, you know, different. I mean, not that we're the same as him. He is much different than us. But he's God's only begotten Son. Amen? The only begotten of the Father, the Bible talks about. And listen, I don't understand everything about that I'd like to, but I can tell you this. It means he's the one and he's the only, and there ain't nobody else like him, and there'll never be anybody else like him. Now, he saved us. And we are sure different than what we used to be, but we're not him, amen. We're just saved because of him, amen. We're just saved because. But anyway, hey, there's a promise. There's a promise that we're going to have eternal life. And Paul said, guess what? I'm here to proclaim that promise, and that promise is found in Christ Jesus. He said he promised us before the world began. He said he promised that he'd save you. He promised that he'd give a sacrifice for your sin. He promised that when you die, you go to be with him. Thank God, aren't you glad you got the promise? Amen. You got the promise. So Paul says, here's part of my subject. We're going to talk about the things of the people, the things of the promise. He said, but I want you to know it all works because of the preaching. Again, look there in verse number 3. He said, but he hath, or hath, he's talking about God hath, in due times manifested his word through preaching. Boy, isn't that amazing? God's doing every bit of this through preaching. Now in our time, God has manifested his promise through the preaching of the Word of God. That means I can stand up and I can tell you with the utmost of assurance that if you'll come and trust Christ as your Savior, he'll forgive your sins, he'll write your name above, he'll make you one of his. You're a child of God, you're a child fit for him, you're going, and you don't belong to this world anymore. Amen? I mean, and that's because of preaching. You know, I told you the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then Paul, in that writing, goes on and says, but how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen? He said, and then how are you going to have a preacher except God calls him? Amen? I mean, this thing just kind of adds on itself, doesn't it? And I'm telling you, God's still calling preachers. God's still using men. And God's still saving old sinners. Amen? Woo-hoo. And how he does it? Through preaching. Paul said that it's through the foolishness of preaching that God chooses to save people. Now, again, don't get that mixed up. I'm not saying foolish preaching, but I'm saying it's foolishness to this world. I mean, well, how does that work? Well, let me just tell you, I don't understand how it works. All I know is that's what God said do. That's what we're doing. And that's how he does what he does through the foolishness, if you will, of preaching. God saves sinners. It's the Holy Spirit comes in, convicts a man of his sin, tells him he's wrong, and thank God the Holy Ghost will birth him into the family of God. And it's all because some preacher got out there and leather lunged it and told people about hell, told people about a Savior, told people about a blood cleansing flow that's red that'll make your black sin white. Amen. Amen. You know, and folks don't understand that, do they? But you know what else they don't understand? I don't understand this. How in the world them old crazy brown cows can eat green grass and give white milk? Amen? You got that figured out? No. Well, you know why? It's the same thing with salvation. I don't understand. Your sin's black. His blood's red. But when you get in it, you turn out white. Amen. How about that? I'm just telling you this because of the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching. So, he's got some observable subjects. But let's look at one last thing real quick, if you will. Let's look at Paul's obedience, son. Look at verse number 4. He says, this is who I'm writing to. I just think this is amazing. If you look at verses 1 through 4, if you look at it grammatically, you'll notice that that's just one sentence. Boy, Paul sure does talk long, don't he, preacher? Yeah, he sure does. He got some of the longest sentence I've ever seen in my life. I'm glad I ain't in English class and some teacher says, I want you to diagram this sentence. I'd say, good luck, buddy. Amen. That's all I can tell you. But if you'll notice here with Paul, he talks about his obedient son. You see what he says there in verse 4? To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. After the common faith. I want you to look at this, and let's talk about the occasion of Titus's entrance into this picture, if you will. Well, how did he get here? Well, Paul says he came in after the common faith. You know what that means? Titus got saved just like the rest of us. Titus realized that he was lost without Christ. He heard the preaching of Paul the apostle. And in that preaching, he got convicted of his sin and he got saved. He got saved. I mean, how does a man get in? Well, pretty easy. You make your entrance into this life of faith. You make your entrance into the family of God by believing and having the common faith, amen, that everybody else. In other words, it ain't nothing different. It ain't nothing special. It ain't nothing unusual, as a matter of fact, for us that are saved. We got saved the same way. If you remember, Jude starts out. He said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you concerning what? The common faith. I mean, this thing is, and by that word common, please do not misunderstand. Some people look at it and they say, well, this is just kind of, you know, run of the mill. No, it's unusual. It's different. But what the idea of common is this, that it is the same for everybody. Every one of us gets saved. It's not like men get saved one way and women get saved another. Adults get saved one way, kids get saved another. No, everybody gets saved the same way. You've got to put your faith in the finished work at Calvary. The blood of Christ is what you're going to have to trust as the redeeming blood of Christ. Brother, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. It's just a common thing. There's not something that is, well, all of the theologians over here believe something different than what we do. No, everybody gets saved. Same. If anybody's saved, they're saved the same way you are. They believed that Christ Jesus died for their sins. Amen? And I've been around some guys, pretty smart guys. But you know what? They got saved the same way I did. An old dummy like me got saved the same way they did. Amen? We just trusted Jesus to save us from our sins. Amen? So you see the occasion. You see the way that Titus got into this thing. He said to Titus, mine own son after the common faith. You see what he says to him? Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen? He said, can I extend to you some things? Paul usually does it in this order. Grace. Got to have grace first, folks. First thing that happened, you realize God's grace is coming. And then you experience his mercy. And then you know what you find? The peace of God from knowing Christ Jesus. He says, Titus, here you are. You're in this thing, and here's the way you got in. Here's what it has given unto you. And Paul extends those things over into it. All right, but not only that, we're going to jump down into verse number 5 just for a minute. And first of all, look at the obligation of his employment. Let's look at the obligation of his employment. He says to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. But look down there in verse number 5. He says, for this cause left I thee in Crete. I mean, he's got an obligation of his employment. He's there in this place, and he's there for a reason. Now, don't let that word employment mess you up. What I'm talking about is God is employing him in his work as a minister. It's not that he's getting paid, and I don't know anything about that. That wasn't necessarily a real common thing back in that day. They might have stayed with folks. People probably helped them and blessed them with food or whatever they needed. You know, that may be true. But I'm not talking about employment like you and I think of a job. But I'm thinking God's use, if you will. And he has, Paul says, look, I've left you there to do a job. I've left you in the place that you are because you have an obligation. Now you'd say, well, preacher, is that fair? I think it's fair. I think God was good enough to save Titus. God was good enough to put Paul into Titus's life so that he could learn some things. God was good enough to call him to be a minister of the Word of God. Hey, I tell you, I think it's just fine that God will have him obligated to do the job that God has called him to. Amen? I mean, that's the way I felt about it. I thought when God called me, I thought, now, God, you got a whole lot better people than I. I'm like some of these other guys. You know, I started trying to make bargains and deals with God. God, I tell you what, I can teach Sunday school. I'll do that. And boy, I mean, you'll probably like that a lot better than me preaching. He said, uh-uh. I said, well, let me tell you that. I'll sing. I'll lead a choir. I'll do music. I'll do, you know, whatever. I'll do that. And he said, nope, still want you to preach. I mean, sometimes, and you realize, hey, think about what he's done for you and realize that you have an obligation to do something for him. You're obliged to be in the employment of the Lord himself. He wants to use you. I was telling Lynn here the other day, back when I got saved, I wasn't loud. I wasn't boisterous. I didn't jump benches and run and hoop and holler. I didn't do all that stuff. That wasn't me. But I can remember my younger brother, supposed to got saved same night I did, and he was one of them. He a little Indian. Woo! Run all the place, you know, do all that stuff. And I can remember people coming up and talking to Mom and Daddy, and they said, right there's your little preacher. That little boy right there, he's going to be the preacher one day. Never once pointed a finger at me. Didn't hurt my feelings. I wasn't worried about that. Trust me. Wasn't worried about that at all. But can I tell you, you and I don't know. We don't understand. We don't have a clue as to who God is going to use and how he's going to use them. There may be some young men here in our services from time to time. And man, one of these days they grow up and God calls them into his work. And I'm just thrilled to death because I didn't see it coming sometimes. I didn't know. But aren't you glad God's still in the business of doing that? Amen? But here's the obligation for Titus in his employment. And then notice this last of all. The orders for his establishing. There's some things that God wants him to do. Notice there in verse number 5. He said, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Look what he says. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. I want you to understand that that there's some duties, there's some things that God is wanting that Paul is giving instruction to Titus and said, there are some things that are lacking in these folks in their Christian growth, their Christian understanding, their Christian, you want to say Christian education. There's some things. And I'm leaving you there to take care of those things that are wanting. And then I want you to find some men and ordain them as elders in these churches throughout this island. And that was what, I want to tell you something. That's a big deal. For a young preacher, And Paul has enough confidence in his Christian stand and his Christian raising and understanding. Paul has enough confidence in all that to say, I want you to take care of these things. Amen? And that'd be like us taking, I don't know, anybody out of this audience and say, hey, come up here, I want you to do this, you know. There's people a lot of times, oh, I can do what the preacher does. I can get up there and blabber and carry on talking. Yeah, come on up. Let's try her one time. Anybody wants to volunteer, come on. Let's see how it works for you. Amen? I mean, it's like a lot of other things. I know I've talked to folks a lot of times in a funeral many times. And I've had family members come in and they say, I'd like to say something at my dad or my mom's funeral or, you know, whatever it is. And I said, well, let me just tell you this. It looks a whole lot easier than it is a lot of times. Because when you get up here and some of those emotions and some of those faces and some of those things you're looking at, when that comes back at you, it's a whole lot tougher than it seems. Amen? And it is. It is. I'm not saying people can't do it. I'm just saying sometimes those things are tough. And I'm not saying any of you couldn't come up here and do what I'm doing and do a better job. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, hey, here's Paul telling this young preacher, I'm leaving you and I'm leaving you in charge of getting these things done. Because there's some things that are lacking. Some things that need to be established. Some people. Some doctrines. Some teaching, some preaching, some of those things need to be done. Amen? I've seen preachers, you know, that, and I've been one of them sometimes, something come up and God said, preach this, and you're like, oh, I can't do that. That's going to make everybody mad. And God said, just go ahead anyway, I'll be there with you. Amen? Or just go ahead, and there are times, man, sometimes you say, well, you know, I'll do it if so-and-so ain't there. God said, do it if they are there. Amen? I mean, you just got to be obedient unto the things that God's called you to. So that's just a little introduction into these things that Paul is writing and telling this young preacher and giving him the instruction that he needs. And I tell you, as I say, a lot of these things are for our admonition, for our growth, for our instruction, for our understanding in the way the church works and how things go. And we'll look at some more things. We'll go through them. And, of course, next week we kind of get into that whole understanding of who can be pastors and deacons and all those kind of things. Believe it or not, there are still some qualifications in the Word of God. And I'll just tell you this. There's a lot of churches today, they say, well, you know, we know what it says, but we need a preacher. Well, you better pay attention to what God's Word says, because one of these days we're going to stand there before Him. And we're going to give an account of what we do. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get a song ready, if you would. And we'll give you an opportunity if you need to come pray and do some business with God. We'll do that. But otherwise, you mind the Lord and you understand what He's trying to get across in these few little words that God has given to Paul to say to Titus. So let's stand.